Every time we get together to teach or preach God's Word here at Abundant Life, each of us are students, including me, in the University of the Holy Spirit. Here's the way we see it these days. The moment we're born again, receive Christ into our life, from that moment, for the rest of our life on earth, we are lifelong students in the University of the Holy Spirit. He goes to work right then doing an inside job. It takes him our lifetime to finish it, to perfect it, to complete it, to mature it. But when he's finished with us, we will be his workmanship. And the Bible says everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. So in this University of the Holy Spirit, as he trains us perfectly, his purpose in doing that is that we would be like Christ in the earth. The standard for preaching the truth of God's Word has been raised in this church. Now, don't be misled about the coffee and the water and the tables and the... No compromise on the truth of God's Word. God is pulling us as a church up to a higher level than He ever has, as the Holy Spirit is perfectly training us to be like Jesus. Who knows? This could be the year the Bible refers to when it says the body of Christ will stand up in full stature. A perfect man, fully matured. We've been giving some meat of the Word in recent weeks. We talked about being completely furnished and equipped in our pursuit of spiritual maturity. Heavy things like last Sunday talked about apostolic succession. The big revelation there is Jesus trained his replacements to take his place in the world when he left. And today, in the University of the Holy Spirit, he is training us, perfectly training us, Luke 6:40, to be Jesus' replacements on earth. Heavy, I know it. It's just true, though. Jesus has no body on earth but ours. He has no hands on earth but ours. He has no feet on earth but our feet. We are His body. Today, I want to talk to you about loving God with all your mind. Now stay with me. I'm not preaching mental ascent. I am going to talk a little bit about the power of setting our minds and the part our mind plays as we sanctify our intellect for God's purposes in the earth, in our lifetime, as He uses us. Now, we are required to serve God with our body. We offer our bodies to Him as a living sacrifice. That's biblical. And we have fully wrapped our head around loving God with our spirit. But the tricky part is that third part of us, our mind. And we're required to love God with all of our mind. We're going to see what His Word has to say about that. Beginning in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Jesus said this, it's written in red. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Today we want to lift up just those three or four words in the middle there, talking about loving God with all your mind. In the Greek That word mind there, anything having to do with that word in the Greek language, refers to an exercise in deep thought in pursuit of understanding. It's important what we do with our mind. In our day, in this world, we are so distracted by thousands of things that can take away our focus and challenge our exercise as we fix our mind on loving God. More so in this day than ever before. Have you ever tried to give God an hour, just 1 hour? You know, he mentioned to his disciples, now they were with him. They believed in him. They saw him work miracles. They knew he was the Son of God. And even they struggled to stay focused and alert and vigilant in prayer for 1 hour. Jesus said, could you not watch and wait with me for an hour? I found out how hard it was to give God my focus, my entire fixation and obsession with my mind honoring and loving God for 1 solid hour. When we began our year with 3 nights of prayer here, an open house of prayer for 1 hour each night, Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. I remember the first night, like 10 minutes in, I thought, really? 50 more minutes? I found out then, and I'm sure you know too, how difficult it is to shut out every voice but God's for 1 hour. Mindlessness. Not understanding and showing respect and developing the power of our mind to love God. Mindless eating. Mindless spending. And if we're not careful, mindless worship. Just going through the motions and getting a religious checklist. Oh yeah, we were there. We did that. Oh yeah. When mindlessness has hold of us if we're not careful. And listen, mindless living is not compatible with the Spirit-filled life. Now, I was amazed, I am frequently, when I hear what's going on, the buzz in the secular media. I'm a subscriber to Time magazine. And in their February 3rd issue, the front cover is a picture of a lady. And the title on the cover is The Mindful Revolution. I read it with interest. Subtopic, The Science of Finding Focus in a Stressed Out, Multitasking Culture. If I were to ask for a show of hands, every hand would go up. Stressed Out, Multitasking Culture. It's the art of being mindful, finding peace in a stressed out, digitally dependent culture. It says may just be a matter of thinking differently. You know, that's the hardest thing to do. To think differently. I'll just quote some. I'm only doing this to show you how the secular world, even Time magazine, devoted a front cover and a lengthy story about this truth. They're 2,000 years late. God's Word has told us about it all along. They're catching up with us. The scientists call it neuroplasticity. It's our brain's ability to adapt and rewire. How to think differently. How to be present mentally and focused on one thing. It refers to how hard it has become to think about just one thing at a time. Technology has made it easier than ever to fracture our attention into smaller and smaller bits. said we should be more aware of the present moment and less caught up in what happened earlier or what may yet happen in the future. The Bible talks about this. Secular press now picking up on it. Therapists commend mindfulness, training the mind to focus on one thing at a time, to patients in a way to help cope with anxiety and depression. It's also seen as a means to deal with stress. The ultimate goal, I'm reading from Time magazine now, is simply to give your attention fully to what you are doing, being present of mind. There's a new monthly magazine. It's a movement. Hey, listen, the founder of the church told us about it 2,000 years ago. We've had this as inside information all these years. And now Time magazine, not putting a spiritual spin on it, not even a religious spin. They're just telling you what they found out in the laboratory now. There's a new monthly magazine called Mindful. The former vice president at General Mills left that corporation in 2011 to run an organization called the Institute for Mindful Leadership. This goes on and on. An interesting article. But it only brings home the point of how important it is that we know how to fix our mind on loving God. The mind of Christ is a terrible thing to waste. And we have the mind of Christ. If you're struggling in any area of your life, you can trace it back to the time when you thought about something in a different way than Jesus thinks. In Romans 8, beginning at verse 5, we find these words, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds." Those are the three most important words today in this church. Set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity or hostility against God. Wait. Shocker. It is possible to be born of the Spirit and still have a mind that is hostile toward God. And live our lifetime not even knowing it. Live our lifetime just so happy we got our ticket to heaven because we're born of the Spirit. We believe in Jesus. He's going to get us out of here one day. You know, the whole deal is He doesn't want to reach down here on planet Earth one day and snatch us all out by the skin of our teeth. He wants to come back for a powerful, glorious, relevant, very apparent force, His church in the earth. So we can't just simply settle for being born in the Spirit and then automatic pilot and set cruise control for the rest of the journey. We've got to change our mind on everything that we don't already agree with God's Word about. Mindfulness, loving God with all of our mind. We can accomplish nothing of significance without understanding the power of setting our minds. Those who live according to the flesh, why do they do that? Because their mind is set that way. Those who live according to the Spirit, how can they do that? Because their mind is set that way. Have you ever met anybody An old codger comes to mind in my mental image, so set in their ways. Now, there may be a better way, a newer way, a more efficient way, a more productive way, but they're so set. They'll never get there. Why? Because they refuse to reset their mind. And it works the same way in the things of the Spirit. Our minds, if we're not careful, a wasteland of random distractions. And in this day and age, I'm telling you, I'm not that old. I'm young. I feel 24. In my mind, I'm thinking 24. I'm not an old man yet, but even in my lifetime, I remember a much simpler day. When I was a boy, two channels, both black and white, and only one came in good. I'm thinking, true story. When I was a little boy, at Christmas time, I had two choices. I could get a cowboy hat with holsters and guns, or an Indian wardrobe with a feather. It was either a cowboy or an Indian. That's it. We didn't have gadgets and gizmos and gadgets like we do today. Our minds have become a wasteland of random distractions like Facebook. Whoa, I felt a shock going on right there now. How easy is it to spend an hour and a half just getting lost on Facebook? Your mind going from one to another. Some of you right now are updating your profile. I just know it. I feel it right now. If you're going to say anything, then it ought to go like sitting in church right now having a great time. There you go. Or our minds are a wasteland with things like Doodle Jump, Angry Birds, Google, YouTube, and on and on and on. I mean, technology is a wonderful thing, but we should master it rather than being its slave. And we should make sure our mindset is fixed and focused on life and peace, and that is on the things of the Spirit of God. We should not be mindless. We should be mindful believers. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says this. The prophet to God says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed or is fixed and focused on you." Perfect peace. You know, how cute is it when all the Miss America pageants are lining up and they're giving, "Oh, well, if you become Miss America, what would you like to contribute to the world?" "Oh, world peace." It's a staple, isn't it? One of them, one of the 50 going to say it every year. World peace. Right here in the owner's manual, our instruction book for life, written by the manufacturer, or in our case, the creator, said, "You want perfect peace? Then fix and focus your mind on God." How simple. Time magazine's figured it out. Neuroplasticity. Say, honey, we don't call it that around here. We go back to Romans 12. We figured it out back then. When our peace, listen, according to that verse of Scripture, God will keep us in perfect peace as long as our mind is fixed and focused on Him. According to that, when our peace is stolen from us, it is not always a spiritual thief. Sometimes it's a mental robbery. Oh, please. I'm going to help somebody today now. Now, God tells us to be mindful, to train our mind, to set our mind. Oh, different than your spirit, different than your body. We're to love God with all of those things too, and with all of our strength as well. But to love God with all of our mind, God expects that from us. And as we learn to do that, we are like Him because He's mindful. It's important. It's so important that God is mindful before He expects us to be. David the psalmist said, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" So God Himself is a mindful spirit, and so should we be. A few years ago, there was this popular praise course, a worship song, and we sang it here. And some of the words were, "Take my heart and form it. Take my will, conform it. Take my mind, transform it." And that's what God wants to do in my life, and in yours, and in this church this year, as the Spirit of God is perfectly training us to be Jesus' replacements on earth. Heavy. Now, don't look at me like I'm teaching heresy and false doctrine. Honey, I got scripture for all this. You know it's true. You know it too. Take my heart, form it. Take my will, conform it. Take my mind and transform it. In Romans 12:2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your..." So much in life is a mental journey, even for believers. You see, when you were in the world, you operated according to your mind, your intellect. And when you came into the kingdom of God, He did not require that you check your brains at the door. He said, "Bring on in. Let me change the way you think about things. Transformation by renewing your mind to what God's Word says about every issue in life." And that's what the Spirit of God is doing in us now. It works like this. I know you saw it a few years ago, maybe the 70s, 80s. It was a popular bumper sticker. "God is my co-pilot." And I got a warm and fuzzy feeling when I saw that. I said, "Oh, how nice. The thought that I'm just flying along through life, but thank God He's my co-pilot. I'm not in this by myself." Until I saw a bumper sticker that said, "If God is your co-pilot, you need to change seats." I transformed the way I thought about it. I mean, I like that one better. It was truer than the previous revelation. So I got it. So there's this country song now, and I like it. I like a little bit of country, about 15 minutes. I'm okay with that. I really do appreciate about every kind of music. I'll listen to a little bit of it all, but Jesus, take the wheel. I like that, except that they ought to put in there, "And the accelerator and the gas pedal too. Take it all, Lord." Let's not limit God. When will I be perfectly trained to be like Jesus? The answer is when I allow God to change my mind, transform my mind, and bring me into perfect agreement and understanding with His position on every issue in life. Now, I'm going to quickly wrap this up because it's a lot to digest and you've got a game to watch. So we do need to dismiss by 6 at least. But now here's how it works. As we love God with all of our mind, that's so important. Don't miss it. He changes the way we think about certain relative issues in our life. Jesus hit it square on the head in his teaching, the Sermon on the Mountain. Matthew chapter 5. Do your homework if you want to when you go home and take an archaeological dig on those verses. I'll hit the highlights now. Repeatedly, he refers to what people had been taught. And it was the law. It was good. It served a purpose. But Jesus constantly said it like this. You have heard it said, but I say. You have been thinking one way and that's been all right, but you need to change the way you're thinking now because I say more. Some examples. Jesus said, you have heard it said, if you murder somebody, you're in danger of judgment. You have heard it said, ... but I say, anyone who is angry with his brother without a cause is in danger of judgment. So wait a minute now. He did not lower the standard. He raised it. You mean I don't have to be judged as long as I don't kill anybody? Well, that's what you've heard. But I say, if you've got anger issues, as bad as murder. Oh. Loving God with all your mind. He goes on to address other issues. He said, you have heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, if you even look on a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. Mental transformation. Changing the way you think based on what Jesus says. He goes on. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, change your mind on it. Whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the left cheek toward them and offer that one to them too. Oh, well, I know you're born again, but do you think like that? We're talking about loving God with all your mind. Do you think like that? Do you think like Jesus said, think? He said, you've heard it all your life, but I say. Then he said, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You've heard it said, but I say. Now that's how you change your mind. That's how you are transformed by the renewing of your mind to God's Word. Oh, I know I don't like it. I'm uncomfortable all up in here when I hear some of these things. But that's progress. It's maturity. It's perfection. As the Holy Spirit is training us to think and be like Jesus. We are His replacements. I know we don't look like it. I don't know why He worked it out this way. But you and I are Jesus' replacements in this generation on planet Earth. That's pretty awesome responsibility. Now, those who are set in their ways and don't want to be transformed or changed their thinking about any issue, I'd rather it be the way it used to be. God is never stale, stagnant, or retroactive. He's always forward moving. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 39, Jesus said, "And no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new. For he says, the old is better." The old is better. Those are haunting words when we're being perfectly trained to be like Christ in the earth, for us to have a mindset that the old is better. I had a wonderful childhood, loving family. We were simple people. We're not wealthy at all by any means, but we had everything that money couldn't buy and some that it could. Great family, godly parents, church life as a heritage. But what we're enjoying today is better than that. But someone who will refuse to reset their mind and be transformed by renewing the mind to what God's Word is saying, they will always say the old is better. Jesus said, if you drink new wine, you say the old is better. That's just a part of life. It's our mindset. Jesus turned water into wine at his first miracle. So many revelations in that little few verses there. Jesus turned water into wine. The water represents a natural life. The wine represents spiritual life at a higher level than just natural. Water into wine. In John 2 verses 9 and 10, it says, "When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from." Imagine it. So many things exploded in my spirit or in my mind as I read God's word. The master of the feast was clueless that a miracle had happened. But the servants who had drawn the water knew. Oh, so many things. If you work for an employer, a supervisor, somebody over you in the marketplace, there are things that you know that your employer don't. The master didn't know about the miracle, but the servants who participated knew it was miraculous. And the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man at the beginning," now this is the mindset of the culture of that day. Listen, this is so critical. "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior." But he said, "You've kept the good wine until now." They were used to the process always, without exception, forever, on every single occasion in an event like that wedding. Always, the best was served first. And their mindset had trained them to expect anything after that was inferior. Now, Jesus not only changed water into wine, changed natural life into spiritual life, but probably an even greater miracle than that is he changed the mindset of everyone who thought the best was over and the only thing left in my future is inferior. That's just as much a miracle as turning water. I tell you what, this is a glass of water right here. I'd rather take my chances on converting this to wine than to be preaching to people who say the old is better and trying to change your mindset to expect the future to be superior instead of inferior of everything God has done already. Still water. But how many of you are changing your mind believing that the future is superior, not inferior? Can I just read one verse? I'm really wrapping it up. I just want to read one verse, and it's so staggering. I don't want to comment. I don't know how to comment I'm just going to let the Spirit of God do the commentary as you take this truth home with you. It's found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. Listen to what God says. Let this mind... Now, we're talking about loving God with all your mind. Jesus, or Paul, rather, the apostle, writes here, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. I don't want to comment on it. All I'm going to say is it's the truth. It's in the Creator's manual, the book by which we live, the book who tells us how to change our old mindset into a new, powerful mindset, because it's the same thing Jesus thinks. And God's Word says, think like Jesus thought. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. I'm not saying anything else about that. I'm just going to leave that one right there. All I will say is it's the truth. It's got to be the truth. And who knows, it might really mean exactly what it says. Don't hate me up here now. I'm just reading the Word of God right there. When a baby elephant is born in a circus, immediately becomes a part of the circus life. But when a baby elephant is born, on the day that baby elephant is born and struggles to stand on its four legs on day one, the circus owners tie a rope around one of the rear legs of that baby elephant and attach that rope to a little stake and drive it in the ground. That little elephant realizes in the first minute, I can't get away from that stake. And he may tug and pull and he may jerk, but he just can't get away from that stake. So immediately his mindset is limited. I can't get away from that stake. And the circus owners keep that elephant tied to a stake anytime they don't want him to run away. And this elephant quickly grows and becomes huge and massive and powerful. And it's not too many days or weeks or months before that elephant, if he knew he could, would just walk right away, pull that stake out of the ground and leave the circus. But he never changes his mindset. He never believes he can. He's always locked in to what he was taught, that I can't pull up this stake and leave. Or if he wanted to, he could pull the tent down and run away, have a whole new life of freedom. He can leave the circus as soon as he changes his mind about his limitations. And that's the way we are. We're limited by old mindsets. When God has something superior yet ahead for us, not inferior, but superior. And as soon as we realize we're stronger than what has held us back, we can leave the circus too.